We welcome you to the main event, Cleveland, Tennessee, for 2022, and we're going to minister a prophetic message called The Five Biggest Prophetic Omens that will begin in 2023. Some are beginning now, but they will increase in the very near future. Bible prophecy always moves in a four-level flow. Number one, prophecy begins with the moment the word is given. Thus saith the Lord, found hundreds of times in the scripture. The second phase will be when the movement of the prophetic seed is planted in the people that hear that prophetic word, whether it's from scripture or from the prophet in himself or herself from the Old Testament, the prophetess. The next level will be the momentum of the approaching fulfillment of the prophecy. This will be a sign to you. You'll find the child wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. That is the momentum of it. It's beginning to happen. It's beginning to be fulfilled. And then there will come what I call the fullness of the manifestation. And when you get to the fullness of the manifestation of the prophetic word given, it is called fulfillment of prophecy. And so what I want to mention to you is we're going to go into something very interesting here today, and I want to begin with the use of the New Testament word signs. And in the meaning of signs, let me give you some scriptures on this. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 3, it talks about discerning the signs of the time. Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, what will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age? Acts chapter 2, verse 19, there will be wonders in the heavens above, signs in the earth beneath. Matthew chapter 24, verse 30, then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Revelation chapter 15, verse 1. I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. And you see the word sign mentioned in the New Testament 30 times. And basically, it is a Greek word, which is the Greek word semeion, which means an indicator, a token. It can also mean a miracle or a wonder, like Jesus healing someone as a sign of that he is the Son of God and he is the Messiah. So signs are evident all around us, and those signs are either in the beginning process of being fulfilled, some are halfway fulfilled, and some are soon to be fulfilled. How many of you believe what I'm saying based on the word that you know? Raise your hand and say, I believe that. Would you say that with me? I believe that. Now, in the prophetic flow, here's what happens. First of all, there is a prediction. A prediction becomes a prophecy. That's when the word is spoken. There is when a prophecy then is set in stone. We say set in stone as a metaphor to mean it's permanent. It is there. It is evident. This is called by Peter a sure word of prophecy. And then there are also, when prophecy begins to occur, as I said a moment ago, it's fulfillment. So my bottom line in this little introduction is to tell you that prophecy is in Scripture. Prophecy is being fulfilled. Prophecy has a flow to it. And we are somewhere right now in what I call the stages of the manifestations of the numerous time of the end signs that relate to the return of Christ, the Antichrist, the tribulation period, and those particular things that you hear taught on. In Ezekiel, for example, he gives you this flow. Chapter 37, the Valley of Dry Bones is clearly a picture of the Jewish Holocaust. After that, he comes to chapter 38 and 39, and Israel is restored. Then Israel becomes a great nation. Then Israel fights this great end-time battle called a War of Gog and Magog. And he leaves there from chapter 38 and 39. He goes to chapter 40. He talks about the Messiah coming back, rebuilding a temple, which Dr. Cutshaw at ISO has the greatest teaching on that in the world. And how many of you know, have ever seen the temple teaching, that you know what I'm saying is the truth? There's a plug for your brother, and I mean that from my heart. Now let me say this. Everybody say this. Prophecy flows. And when it flows, we're going to go. Y'all will get that in a minute. All right. Going to be the time of the end. What I want to deal with for the next few moments, however, is what I call omens. Jonathan Kahn would use the word harbinger. Jesus would use the word signs. I sometimes like to use the word prodigies or omens. Basically, it's the same thing. It's events that are pointing to something big, the events that are pointing to a fulfillment. And we're going to begin this right now. First of all, one of the great omens of the time of the end that we're seeing, if you're keeping up with technology, is what I call the cosmic cosmic signs of the time of the end, or the cosmic signs of the return of Christ. There is, according to Josephus and other historians, Jewish historians, in the time of Moses' birth, there was a certain conjunction of planets in the heaven that revealed that there was going to be a leader born among the Jewish people. And this is Jannes and Jambres, who are mentioned in the New Testament as the names of the two Egyptian magicians that Aaron and Moses withstood, and their serpent became a snake. And of course, how many of you know God's snake swallowed the devil's snake? And God always swallowed the devil's snake. So these magicians were the ones that the dream was reported to, and they said there's going to be a child born among the Jews. And this is the reason why the Jewish historian says that Pharaoh set out to kill all the infants based on a dream and the conjunction of planets, that there was going to be a leader born among the Jewish people. We do know he was born. His name was Moshe, or Moses, in the Bible. The coming to the New Testament time, there was an alignment of some sort that took place where a mysterious star appeared in the east, and the Magi, which were men from more than likely either Babylon or Persia, were reading the signs of the heavens, the signs, the planetary alignments. And they noticed that in the emblem of the lion, and there is an emblem that the ancients call Leo the lion, that in the neck of the lion and the star Regulus, and the star Regulus is called the king star, that there was a planet, and the planet was Jupiter, that was aligning in the neck of that star. The Jupiter among the Jews was called the planet of the king. It represented King David, for example, and that became a tradition. But when they saw this alignment of Regulus with the big planet in the neck of the star, it formed this bright star. This is what many people believe. And that's when they said, there's been a king which has been born in the earth, and the Lord directed them through a cosmic sign. How do I know that? Because Matthew said that when they came to Jerusalem, they said, the king has been born, for we have seen his star in the east. And so God has always used, my point is, God has always used cosmic activity to indicate bigger things that are going to happen and indicate that signs are going to take place on earth based on the cosmic activity in the heaven. This is why in the book of Genesis, when God created the sun, moon, and stars, you can read this, he says they are for signs and for seasons. And I'm going to say it again. They are for signs and for seasons. And I hate the devil because he took the signs that were pure, they were supposed to be intended for us to understand, and he turned it into astrology. And we're not talking about astrology here. We're talking about interpreting the signs according to Scripture. How many of you know that Jacob, or Joseph, I should say, Joseph has a dream of the sun and the moon and the stars bowing down. And what does his father say? The moon is your mother. The sun is me. And those stars are your brothers. Wait a minute. There's billions of stars. How could the stars be his brother? Because there's 12 constellations in the circuit of heaven. Joseph was represented by one of them, and the other 11 constellations were bowing down before Joseph's. That's what it means in that dream. Go ahead and give the Lord a hand. I think that's interesting. Now, at the time of the destruction of Jerusalem between 66 AD to 70 AD, there was a series of bizarre cosmic activity and signs that took place that the Jewish historian wrote about in his book, The War of the Jews, which you can actually purchase in the English translation in most books, Christian bookstores. And in The War of the Jews, Josephus, who was an eyewitness, said that there was a comet that was seen in the sky for 1 year over the city prior to its destruction. We now know from researchers that that comet was none other than in 66 AD, Halley's Comet. And Halley's Comet usually comes through the galaxy and is seen on Earth 4 years before there is a world war or a major war, and it came through 4 years before the destruction of the temple. Then Josephus says that they looked up in the heavens and they could see in the clouds chariots racing in the heavens. Now, I can't explain that one. That takes a little bit more of interpretation. I know I can look at the clouds and see all kinds of faces. Come on. Anybody have an imagination like me? You see, that's a goat. That's a bull. Oh, that's Pam in the cloud. What's she doing up there? So I see faces all the time in the clouds. It's just maybe it's my imagination. I don't know what that meant, but it was a cosmic sign to them. Then there was a light that supernaturally shined on the temple during one of the festivals. The Eastern Gate opened and closed by itself. And there was a sword, and I figured this one out from some research, but there was a sign in the heaven before the destruction of the temple of a sword in the heavens. And I found out that there was a meteorite shower that year in the constellation, get it again, Leo, which represents the lion. That also represents the tribe of Judah, by the way, because Judah's emblem is a lion. I'm talking about in the ancient times. And when that meteorite shower takes place, they had it happen over Italy years ago. It would absolutely blow your mind. I wish I'd have put a picture up of this. It looks like a sword in the head. It literally forms a sword when that meteorite shower happens in that constellation. My point is that cosmic signs have been used for decades as from God himself as an indicator of what is about to take place somehow on the planet. Let's go in the New Testament and read these verses that prove this. First of all, Luke chapter 21 and verse 11. Luke 21 verse 11 says this, "And great earthquakes shall be in different places, and famines and pestilences and fearful signs, and great signs shall there be from heaven." And then in Luke chapter 21 and verse 25, here's what it reads, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nation with perplexity." That word perplexity in Greek means not knowing the way out. "And the sea and the waves roaring." Those are hurricanes, hello somebody, coming off of the sea, and there are also tsunamis, which when a tsunami arrives, there's a roaring or an echo sound that is heard by the eyewitnesses who survive a tsunami on the coastal areas. Then he says this, "Men's hearts failing them for fear of looking after those things which are coming to pass on the earth." Now, this last verse is a tribulation verse for sure. If you read about the great tribulation, "And the powers of heaven shall be shaken." And I'm going to tell you how that's going to happen. I believe NASA is trying to invent a weapon that if an asteroid comes into from the outer space before it hits the Earth's atmosphere, they will send a missile. They've even talked about a nuclear missile that to blow that asteroid up. Of course, all it does is blow it into smaller pieces, but somehow blow it up to move it out in space. I believe when the powers of heaven are shaken, and Isaiah said the heavens roll back as a scroll, something like that will happen in the future, and they're already discussing what would happen if that kind of weapon was actually used. Now, here's the four comic indicators. Luke 21 and 25, and also Matthew 24 through verse 29. Matthew 24, 29, I'm sorry. Here we go. "Signs in the sun, signs in the moon, signs in the stars, and then the powers of heaven are going to be shaken." Now, he says this. Jesus said it this way. "Great signs." Now, the Greek word great is megas. And it just is the great. It's like it's mega. It's large. It's huge. It's you can't hardly measure it. It's so great. So these great signs. Now, I want you to listen to this for just a moment. When we talk about the signs in the sun, you know as well as I do that they have found holes in the sun. They talk about constantly the warning of a solar flare leaving the sun, hitting the earth, knocking out the satellites, knocking out the power grid. And we would have never known of these things without modern technology. There are signs in the sun. There are signs in the moon. Here's something that is mind-blowing. I always thought signs in the moon was maybe not in the 1960s, men landing on the moon. Well, that was a sign, of course. But China got a hold of some moon rocks. Now, this is crazy. They have discovered a new mineral that is in the moon rocks that they say could be a source of energy, and there are crystals. I saw a picture of the crystal. There's a crystal in those rocks that contains helium-3, and they think they could take those crystals and tap into it and eventually, for the energy, light entire areas with it. Now, that's been in breaking news. You've had so much negative news on the news, you haven't probably heard that on the news. Guess where they got it from? From the moon. You see, think about this. The moon has a dust that reflects the sun. It reflects it. There's something in there. It's very mysterious. All right, signs in the moon. Maybe that's one of those signs. And then we've always, you had me show you pictures in the past about with Hubble. Hubble's showing these. Listen, forget Hubble. James Webb Satellite Telescope out of NASA. absolutely unbelievable, taking pictures of the surface of the planets, taking pictures of the edges of black holes, taking pictures of new stars being formed. Someone said, well, I'm going to tell you something. Now, if God created the heavens, the earth, and the sun, the moon, and the stars, how can new stars be continually be created? Because God said, let there be light, and let there be sun, moon, and stars. And when God said, let there be, that's a creative word, and the word of God keeps creating. He's never called it back. That's why the Bible says he's upholding all things by the word of his power. That's why the universe continues to go on and expand with new creations. Because when God said, let there be light, the Bible said he's upholding all things by the word of his power. So the creative word is still creating. The creative word is still producing. Adam and Eve were not the only people on the planet that could have babies. Come on, talk to me. We're still making babies. Hey, hallelujah. Because God's word is still there to create. Now, going back to this, so these images that are coming out, and I didn't put any of those up because they're under NASA copyright, and I honor people's copyright, but the NASA project with this new telescope is absolutely incredible. And then the planets, we're seeing planets and galaxies that we never knew that existed. And these scientists are saying, we believe we're going to find life out there. We believe eventually. Listen, guys, there's life out there. His name is God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the holy angels. There's a planet and a galaxy called heaven that exists. Now, I've solved that problem now. They're not aliens. They're God's people living out there. They're angels living out there, not ancient aliens. All these things, though, that I'm telling you about, the signs in the sun, the signs in the moon, and the signs in the stars, there's great signs. And I think these pictures are fantastic and great. But then there's fearful signs. And that Greek word fearful, I think, is phobotron, and it just means frightening, something that creates a phobia, a fright in you. And I know a while back they were talking about this solar flare is coming. You better hope it doesn't hit the earth. We're going to be in darkness for 6 months. See, that could create fear in people's minds. And then they say it's going to knock out the power grid one day. Well, you and I know we're not living in the 1800s burning candles. I mean, we're living where, you know, you have to have power for the gas station. You got to have power for the car. And I'm thinking about, this is not a hobby horse with me, but I'm thinking about if everybody has an electrical car and the power grid goes out, I guess we'll all sit at home and ride bicycles. I haven't figured that one out yet. Maybe we'll get a solar-powered bicycle or something. I don't know. But, I mean, these things are out there, and it's things that you've got to think about. An asteroid, for example, that hit the Earth would throw the tides off of the tides in the Earth. And when you throw the tides off, everything is going to be completely impacted. Falling stars, asteroids, we know from the book of Revelation that's going to happen. So here's what I'm going to say. When you begin to hear them talking about the possibility of a new asteroid discovery, pictures that are coming in of these fascinating things. They found one they called the Eye of God that looked like God's eye. They found one that looked like a crown of thorns. It's called the Indus, not galaxy, but the image there. And these things that you see are great. They're fearful. But what my point is that one of the omens that you're going to see, and I'm going to get into this a lot deeper in this message. This is just kind of touching the surface. In fact, at the end of this message, I'm going to give you the year 5783 on the Hebrew calendar and blow your mind in just a minute. So you got to, aren't you glad you come on the opening night of camp meeting to hear the word? We got a whole lot of ground to cover in the next few moments. But so omen number one is signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. We don't preach on this a lot, but keep your eyes out there. Keep it open because you're going to hear a lot of things, a lot of discoveries, a lot of unusual things that are going to be coming in 2023 and beyond if the Lord tarries. Now, the other thing that is happening, and you guys know about this, are the major heat waves that are hitting the earth. Now, I know there's a lot of people that talk about pro-climate change, anti-climate change, and I always tell the people who are saying it's climate change and it's the gases that we're producing and the carbon we're producing, and there may be a truth to that. I'm not a scientist. I'm not for or against, but I want to tell you this. Weather has always been affected through history. There have been 7-year famines, 3.5-year famines. There have been droughts where they were eating donkey's dungs. Come on, somebody. Donkey dung and what else was it? No, donkey's heads and dove's dung. I'll get it right in a minute. I mean, there's been terrible famines throughout history. There was a global flood that wiped everything out called the flood of Noah. So when it comes to the earth and it comes to what's happening, I'll talk about this in one of my other messages, I think, but I'm going to talk about angels' involvements. Well, as a matter of fact, it's coming up. Oh, aren't you glad? Okay. So the hottest it's ever been on the planet on record is 134 degrees Fahrenheit in Death Valley, there out in California in 1913. So how many of you know there weren't too many planes and cars in 1913, and yet it was the record in 1913. So what I'm saying is this heat and cold has been going on really from the beginning of time off and on, and it comes in cycles. Number two, the hottest record in 2022 was in Europe, where Europe reached 104 degrees. Now, the reason I'm sharing that with you is I want to show you a scripture from the book of Revelation chapter 16. It's verse 16, 8 through 9, if you're making notes. And we're going to read this on the screen, if it comes on the screen here. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great, there's that word again, megas, great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which has power over these plagues. And here's the part that blows my mind, I'm sorry. And they repented not to give him the glory. I'm going to tell you how you know you're entering the time of the end. It's when these things can happen and disasters can happen and people only get mad at God but never repent. Three times in Revelation, you can read it, they repented not, they repented not, they repented not. That, to me, of all my Bible studies, that's the straw that breaks the camel's back, so to speak, to let you know you're in the time of the end. Church age is done over, reaching the grace and mercy time, and then you turn it over because men get so turned over to themselves that they no longer repent. When you no longer repent, you no longer need the gospel preached because men aren't going to repent. Come on, am I here? Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? And that's one day, not now. We're not there now, thank God, but one day it will come to that. Now, it's interesting about these angels. The word scorched here in Greek means to literally to burn or to burn with the glow of the heat. Then it says in chapter 16 and verse 10 that when this begins to happen and this heat breaks out on the planet, that it says that they would gnaw their tongues in pain and sores would break out on their body. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a pretty grim looking picture. But I want you to notice who is responsible for this. It says an angel is responsible for this. Now, what I'm about to tell you, I have never publicly said because I've never privately thought about it in all my Bible study. I've always considered angels to be ministering spirits to minister to the heirs of salvation and minister the things of God for the people of God. But I'm going to show you right now, angels are responsible for controlling nature and weather.
I heard this many times on Saturday afternoon. I have never missed a main event in many years, and this week's services were the greatest revelation of God's Word yet. Personally, the morning services released the most profound right now practical series of revelations that I've actually ever heard in my 46 years of ministry. The five messages that I preached were all new insights, some I had never seen until recently, that were birthed in the secret place of prayer. I felt impressed to emphasize lessons on defeating the strange attacks of the enemy, and I included a significant prophetic update, also teaching on the meaning of the year 5783 and teaching the authority of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. Here's the title of my five messages: The Five Prophetic Omens Coming in 2023, The Prophetic Decree of the Watchers, The Satanic Ambush in the Spirit-Filled Edge, Recovering When Satan Chastises Your Peace, How to Issue a Restraining Order on the Enemy. Tony Scott taught a word that opened up a new spiritual level, and the title of the message was Living in the Highest Kingdom Life. Ron Carpenter brought the people to their feet with a powerful word, the legal side of prayer. Tommy Bates built our faith and just literally brought in the glory of the Lord with It's Time to Release the Supernatural. This main event series is a solid investment in your spiritual growth, explaining battle-proven tactics, and also increases your knowledge and provides faith-building truths that unlock the mysteries of the kingdom of God in the time of the end. There are four ways in which to order. Call toll-free 1-888-21-BREAD or call our Voice of Evangelism offices at 423-478-3456. Or you can order online at perrystone.org requesting the 2022 main event CDs or the DVDs. You can also mail in your order to Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37320. Now, always remember to request either 22ME CD for the CDs or 22ME DVD for the 8 DVDs. Some DVD messages also have various pictures and scriptures to enhance the meaning of the message so that you can see and hear the word of the Lord. Now, the 8 CDs are $55. The 8 DVDs are $95, and we will pay the postage. If this year has been difficult and you've been hit from different directions, I can assure you these messages will give you weapons for warfare, tools for living, encouragement in your spirit, and help build your faith. And they will help you to break the strongholds and oppression of the adversary. The prophetic update is also very powerful. Please order yours today and help keep Manifest on the air.
Well, now this was a brand new program today because it came from our main event this past October. The opening Tuesday night, I preached on, I have it written down here, 5 prophetic omens coming in 2023. A lot of you have asked me for events that I believe would take place the next year or things that were happening related to Bible prophecy. Toward the end of the message, I dealt with the Jewish New Year, which is 5783. And I saw when the new year was changing, should I say it this way, when the Jewish year came into existence, several people made their predictions for the year, but I have no idea what system some of them were using. I don't know if some of it was guesswork or this is what they felt led, but we've taken a system for the past 9 years or so, and it has been a proven system that actually gives you a hint or a clue as to what to expect during the year. And so we're in that year now, and I can already see this coming to pass. Please get the entire album, because one thing you need to know is on the DVDs, a lot of the speakers will use scriptures or they'll show special pictures, and we did that especially on this first message that you hear, or you can get the audio CDs if you would like, either way. I do want to mention that when you watch the telecast, you only get an excerpt, and I really hate that, but there's no way that we could take a 70-minute program and stretch it out into 3 different programs, because that then the series would go on for about 15 weeks, so you can get the product instead. We are working on the itinerary, of course, for next year. We're not sure everything that's going to be happening internationally or nationally or any changes that may come into effect during this period of time, but we do have plans to come to Hawaii in the month of February, and also we have our Ohio Warrior Fest at the end of March at Tony Scott's church in Miami, Ohio. I hope I said that right. I always say that wrong. Ohio. And we can only hold about 800 young people in the facility, so registration will be up for that pretty soon. And then we have our Summer Warrior Fest at OCI in July. I want all the youth groups to remember that. Our Prophetic Summit, this is very important, has been moved from June to the last Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in April. And if all the information about itineraries or changes or where we're coming to is at perrystone.org. Look up the itinerary. And we also want you to be with us if we're coming into your area. Take the opportunity to try to come and join us. If we have a weekend meeting of Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, a lot of times we will try to do a partners gathering during that time, if at all possible. So we want to say thank you, and I have to show you a picture of my new grandbaby boy, and I will be doing that as soon as they give me a good picture. So at the end of the program, I'll leave enough time for you to see Andrew Stone. He carries on the Stone family name. Our third grandbaby has come. Thank you all. God bless you. And don't forget to check out our YouTube channel.